Ed from Deerhoof.
Yeah. You are listening to
WMFO in Medford.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Mary Wilson of the Supremes. Hey, Boston! You're listening to 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
So won't you hurry? Come on, boy, see about me.
Come see about me.
See about you, baby.
Come see about me.
Do, do, do. La, la, la.
My friend Sally says she knows you, got a funny point of view. Says you got away with murder, maybe once or maybe two. Something happens in the morning when I can't see those.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hope all of you are having a great start to your Wednesday morning. This is Shukri Wright, host of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Just stay tuned for just a couple of moments. We're going to begin the show ready to roll. We got 2 full hours of the program today. I can't wait to get started. I got a lot to talk about, a lot to get off my chest. Hope you'll pull up a chair and enjoy. And a pleasant good morning to you wherever you may be. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show with yours truly, Shukri Wright, here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your Wednesday morning as I come to you live from the WMFO studios in Medford. Here we are in mid-July. And finally, it feels like summer. I mean, we've had a lot of rain throughout this summer season so far. And today, we have a 90-plus degree day and a rise in temperature, which I'm feeling. I'm totally feeling. Make no mistake about it. And then, to top it all off, I'll be the first to tell you that, you know what? I'm ready for whatever the rest of the summer has got in store. Because we're just now beginning to enter the halfway point of the summer. So, the phone lines are open. You can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to the show. I'm here with you until 11 o'clock a.m. this morning. And last night, the All-Star Game. I'm going to start there. I'm going to start talking about the All-Star Game. And I'm not going to start by talking about the game itself. Now, because I'm on the list of things that absolutely bugged the hell out of me, the number one thing that bugged the hell out of me from last night's game was tuning into the game and seeing those god-awful uniforms that both the American League and National League players were wearing. What the hell was that? It felt like I was watching the Mariners rock those like Back to the Future uniforms that they wore like in the late 90s while they were still playing their games at the old Kingdome. The uniforms were so bad that, frankly, it gave me very little motivation to watch the game in its entirety. But I still watched, I would say, the last bit of the game. I didn't watch the game in its entirety because whatever juice that the All-Star game once had in Major League Baseball, it's just about gone. It's gone. It's like watching the best of the best in the sport come together to play a meaningless pickup game in a glorified park that's got 50,000 seats in it. That's practically what that was. And then you decided, Commissioner Manfred, you decided that it would be a great idea for the players to wear those uniforms that you try to give it a bit of a Seattle-centric feel to it. But I didn't like it. And the reason why I didn't like it was because why destroy, or should I say attempt to replace, a tradition that has been long withstanding for the longest of times? Remember the days of players wearing their team's uniforms in All-Star games? I do. Can we get back to that? Please? Pretty please? Because there was no reason to get away from that. None. Zero. There was no reason for the baseball players to be rocking those hideous uniforms like we're watching some late 1999 game getting ready for the new millennium. That's what it seemed like. I didn't like it one bit. It practically, within 15 minutes of me tuning into the game, turned into an absolute joke. I'm sitting there watching these players compete against each other with these hideous helmets that are marked A or N, like these players are rocking proud scarlet letters to represent the league that they're playing for. What was that? Can someone please tell me what was the benefit of the players rocking those uniforms and the helmets, which were just absolutely hideous, and the hats? Don't even get me started on the hats. The hats reminded me of these $10 to $15 hats that you go pick up at Old Navy midsummer in the year of 2000 that you don't want to wear, but your parents make you wear it because it was affordable and it was not so bad looking, and at least it would go with whatever you were going to wear that day. That's what that reminded me of. Those beige caps. I mean, I don't know who came up with those hats. You couldn't have come up with something better than that. Come on. I mean, goodness grief. And it didn't help matters at all that you have the players you have the players rocking those turquoise jerseys and the fonts. The fonts of those jerseys really reminded me of the year 1999. I'm so serious. That's what it reminded me of last night. I don't know why. I don't know about you. But it seemed like Major League Baseball truly tried to do way too much. Way too much. I get that Seattle was hosting the All-Star game. I get that the Mariners were the ones that were hosting the All-Star game. I get all of that. You're trying to, you know, show up and show out for the All-Star game. But I'm not going to lie to you. I was not impressed. I was genuinely not impressed. The only thing that was impressive was the way that the Houston Astros were introduced at T-Mobile Park, and the reaction. The reaction was absolutely great. I mean, it was just phenomenal. I mean, if you're going to be honest, I thought it was actually the most comical thing all night. I mean, it really was. I mean, you go back and you rewatch how that introduction went. And you had to have expected. I mean, you had to have expected that those players were going to get booed. I mean, it's their American League West rival. No one has forgotten or forgiven the Astros for the cheating scandal in baseball. Pretty much let it be known that even nearly 6 years later, you are still a target. No one really cared that you were still the defending champions. But yet, when it was time to see guys like Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez get introduced, it was actually the most comical thing that I saw all night. The only thing worse than that is you being some sort of a pop band. You show up and you're getting booed vociferously as you're getting ready to take center stage to be the centerpiece of a grand event. That's the part that's hilarious. I mean, it truly is. Like, even in, you know, one thing that I will ask is this. And I will ask Robert Manfred this following question. That is, can we go back to the players just winning their team's uniforms next year? And, you know, like, maybe, just maybe doctor up the caps a little bit with the All-Star emblems and all that fun stuff. Don't overthink a product that doesn't need much twinking to begin with. Is that much to ask for? Or am I being completely unreasonable? Like, honestly, I don't think I was asking for too much. I think I'm being pretty fair if you ask me. Like, if anything else, I thought that if anything, I'm looking at the videos right now from last night. I just got this cyber-like feel for the uniforms. The fonts, like the turquoise green color jerseys for the American League and the navy blue jerseys for the National League. Like, ugh. Am I crazy for wanting the All-Star game to actually mean something again? Because it really meant nothing last night. It was purely entertainment for the baseball fans and for those who love the game and so forth, seeing the best players in the sport on the field at the same time. Great, nice. But truth is, it just lost a lot of juice. And I'm not just talking about, like, just now. I'm talking about overall. Overall, it just lost a lot of juice. There's nothing to really play for anymore at the All-Star game. Because remember years back that it used to be, this one counts. It's for home field advantage in the World Series. That all came about because the 2002 All-Star game, for those of you that are old enough to remember, that one ended in a tie. So the following year, the then baseball commissioner Alan Budd set on Selig basically said, you know what? Home field advantage is on the line. It started in 2003 and had a pretty long withstanding run. And it actually meant something. Until Rob Manfred said, nah, not anymore. Not anymore. Phone lines are open and you can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the program. As we are going to take a music break here, coming up next, I'm going to give you some thoughts on the Boston Red Sox first half overall. And as well as the unofficial thoughts of looking ahead to the second half, I want to tell you exactly what I'm thinking and much more coming up next here in the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss Free Farm Radio.
This is Freeman Dyson, and you're listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform Radio.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story.
One night, I was at a bar. I was having fun with my friends.
I had one too many drinks.
I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
The cabbie barely had time to react.
I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Crystal raindrops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through to make those rainbows in my mind. When I think of you sometime, and I want to spend some time with you, just the two of us. We can make it if we try. We look for love, no time for tears. Wasted water's all that is, and it don't make no flowers grow. Good things might come to those who wait, but not for those who wait too late. We gotta go for all we know. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us. We'll be right back. I hear the crystal raindrops fall on the window down the hall, and it becomes the morning dew. And darling, when the morning comes and I see the morning sun, I wanna be the one with you. Just the two of us.
Welcome back to the Sugar Ride Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Glad you're able to tune into the program here on this Wednesday morning, as I gotta admit, I'm feeling very proud of myself this morning. I am. Because for the first time in quite some time, I actually got here on time and started the show on time. And it felt pretty freaking good. And as I got up this morning around 6:45, I had to give myself a little bit of a push, if you will, just to make sure that I got here on time to start the show on time. Because, you know, the one thing that I really couldn't stand more than anything is, you know, showing up late. And me doing this now 4 years at this station, being on radio 4 years, both locally and nationally, something had to change, and something is changing, and it's a work in progress. You know, being better at being on time in the morning. You know, there is one team locally that could be better at being on time. And when I mean being on time, I mean starting on time. When the games start, I'm talking about the Boston Red Sox. On July 12th, ladies and gentlemen, yes, we are now at the point of the season where the Red Sox have played exactly 91 games at 48-43. They played 91 games. So they're a little bit past the halfway mark of the regular season. They got 71 games remaining. There's a lot of baseball left. They end the unofficial first half on a 5-game winning streak. They won 8 of 9 going into the All-Star break. And even when the season began, I didn't have the highest of expectation for this team going into 2023. If anything, I was of the belief that if this team was going to make the postseason, a lot of things would have to break their way. And if we're being completely honest, the Red Sox, they have been very up and down. They've been up and down all season long. But this isn't a bash fest of the Boston Red Sox at all. I'm here to simply tell you that it's going to be more of the same. It's going to be up and down. But right now, as it currently stands, with the second half of the regular season, the unofficial second half starting on Friday, I think it's very important to note that this is a team that is going to find themselves in a very interesting position. Here's why. Because right now the Red Sox, they're sitting two games back of the third wild card spot in the American League. They're a game back of their arch rival, the New York Yankees. Here's a question that I will ask Red Sox fans, and I'll ask you this honestly. Would you prefer that this team be sellers or buyers come the trade deadline? Because that's coming up next. They're not out of it. You can say that the Red Sox right now, they're very much in the thick of things. They're within striking distance. And oh, by the way, they may have some reinforcements coming back very soon. And I'm talking about Trevor Story and I'm talking about Chris Sale. But as you know, don't hold your breath on Chris Sale for much long, because it's only a matter of when he returns back to the injured list. I'm not trying to be an a-hole, but I'm being honest. But the point is that there are some reinforcements that are coming back very shortly for the Boston Red Sox. And as well as Tanner Houck as well, he's making his return as well soon. John Schreiber as well. So I say all of that to say that the Red Sox, as it currently stands, as much as they have had an up and down first half of the season, there's a chance that if things fall right for this team, that they could, I mean, just might, could make the postseason. But here are three things that will have to go their way in the second half. Number one, health. Health has been a problem for the Boston Red Sox in 2023. It has. Adam Duvall missed time. He just came back about a month ago. Chris Sale has missed significant time. Trevor Story has missed significant time. Tanner Houck has missed significant time. If this Red Sox team is going to make a run in its final 71 games of the regular season, they are going to need to stay healthy, because if they don't stay healthy, they don't have much of a chance in the American League. They don't. Because I got news for you. The Baltimore Orioles, who have been the biggest surprise in Major League Baseball this season, they're not going anywhere. And I mentioned this last offseason to a good friend of mine who I do podcast with on the Believe Network, that I see Baltimore as being a playoff team in 2023. I haven't been wrong in that regard so far. That's if they don't collapse in the second half. So the teams that are ahead of the Red Sox right now in the standings, Baltimore, they're not going anywhere. If anything, Baltimore being in it makes it all the more compelling. It truly does. You also got Toronto. They're up ahead as well. And then also Houston. The Astros, they're up ahead of them in the wild card race. So right now, the wild card race looks as the follows. Toronto's in the third wild card race, the third wild card spot. Houston, they're in the second wild card spot. Baltimore is in the first one. And then you got the division leaders, the Tampa Bay Rays, who they really had fallen onto some really rough times up until Sunday when they won the series finale against the Atlanta Braves, the best team in baseball right now. The Texas Rangers, they lead the West, and then the Cleveland Guardians, they lead the American League Central. So as I was saying, the Red Sox, they're going to have to stay healthy in the second half if they're going to have a realistic shot at this. Because as it currently stands, they're only two games out of the last wild card spot and only a game back of the Yankees. Number two, they're going to have to get a lot more consistent hitting. They have to be a lot more consistent offensively. Because the offensive output that they've put forth so far hasn't been good enough. I'll give you credit, Jarren Duran. He's been solid in the first half. 319 batting average, 885 OPS. I'll give him credit. But Adam Duvall has not been able to duplicate his scorching start to the season before he got injured since he's come back off the IL. He hasn't. And then also, Masa Yoshida, he's been okay. He's been solid. He hit 316 in the first half. He's had 10 homers. And then, by the way, this is a guy that doesn't strike out as well. He's only struck out 10% of his plate appearances. So he's been okay in his first year in the major leagues. He's been solid. But I would also go as far as to say, outside of those two, the Red Sox lineup has left, for me, a lot more to be desired. You know, there are guys that are doing some good things, but I'm not going crazy by saying that, well, they are a team that has absolutely blown the doors off the hinges. They haven't. If anything else, there's a Red Sox team that many people thought that they would be a 500 team. They would be 81-81. They've been slightly just above that. But they need a lot more offensively out of this lineup, especially in the second half, where if we're going to be honest with ourselves, it's underachieved as a whole. I'm not nitpicking just specific players. I'm talking about as a group. They have underachieved offensively. And then, number three, the third thing that has got to go right for the Red Sox in the final 71 games for the Red Sox to make the postseason, I mentioned two so far, health, number one. Number two, getting more offense out of the Red Sox lineup, that's number two. Number three, your starting rotation. Your starting rotation has got to be better. And it has gotten a big boost from an unlikely source, James Paxton. James Paxton, I have long believed that it's never been a question of stuff. It's been a question of, can he stay healthy? That was the same question I had when he was a Yankee. Now, obviously, a member of the Boston Red Sox. I mean, what he's giving you in the last four or five starts has been nothing short of terrific. Sub-2 ERA, he's been steady so far. And I will even go as far as to say that, as I mentioned, the pitching. Brian Bayo, that guy is a stud. The development and the maturation of Brian Bayo has been huge for this rotation. And it's part of the reason why I said that pitching is a third key for this Red Sox team if they are going to make the postseason this year. James Paxton, in his last four or five starts, has been terrific. Brian Bayo's development has been outstanding, and it's been huge. And then you got to give props to Kenley Jansen. He's done a solid job as the closer of the Boston Red Sox. So what you've gotten so far from your closer and in the two starters has been huge. But they need a lot more. They're going to need Tanner Houck to come back healthy. They're going to need Paxton to stay healthy. Brian Bayo to continue to dominate the way that he's dominated so far. That is something that I do think will help the Red Sox huge, and especially when it comes to the pitching side of things in the last 71 games of the regular season. And also, honorary mention here, you need a lot more from Rafael Devers in the second half. You need a lot more from him. Because I think for me the biggest puzzling look that I've given the Red Sox offensively so far this season is what has happened with Rafael Devers. Because Rafael Devers has not looked like Rafael Devers. Let's just call it for what it is. Rafael Devers at times has he's looked like himself, but by and large part, he has not been himself so far in 2023. So far this season, he's hitting 251. He's got 70 runs driven in. But if we're going to be real with ourselves and be honest, it's underwhelming for Rafael Devers. The power has been there. He's hit 20 homers. But the average has been down. And you wonder, especially in the final half, the final 71 games of the regular season, can he and will he be able to continue the trend that has been, he has been trending upward in the last 15 games in which that he's been hitting 315 with three homers and 12 runs batted in. He's been better in the last 15 games. But overall in the first half, he hadn't been himself. Can Devers return to being like an MVP-like type of player in the second half of the Red Sox? That remains to be seen. And that will go a long way whether the Red Sox make the postseason in 2023 or not. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. It's the number to call in to the show as we are locked and loaded here on this Wednesday morning as we are chuckling along during this program as we are going to take a music break just about right now. Coming up next, I saw something last night that really made me freaking queeve. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is because I think the world should know how absolutely disturbing this is. That and much more coming up next here on the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts, Freeform Radio.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss Reform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show as we are now entering the final stretch of the first hour of the program. We got hour number two of the show coming up. A lot more heading your way. So don't tune that dial. Don't go anywhere. I promise you it's going to be even better than what has been a tremendous show so far. Now, what is not tremendous for me is people in these weird-ass concoctions of food. Now, those of you that have been listening to the show for the last 4 years know this to be a fact. This is not a rumor. This is not a act or anything like that. Know that I do love a good food. I love good food, period. I'm a foodie. I call myself a foodie. And for what it's worth, I like when you're able to like try, you know, like new foods and stuff like that. And I really would tell you that as much as I love great food in general, I don't like when people take things rather a bit too far. I really don't. And in this case, Burger King did something so outrageous, dare I say so disgusting, that last night I saw the news about it on Twitter and I pretty much queefed. So basically, what it is that Burger King, an American fast food chain restaurant, they decided that they were going to do something new. They were going to sell you a cheeseburger. But here's the kicker. This isn't your typical cheeseburger. This is your cheeseburger that is without beef patties, without lettuce, tomatoes. Instead, it has 20 different slices of American cheese, but no burger at all, in between two buns. So I want to play you a clip last. That's basically not just from last night, but rather it is going to rather describe to you exactly what this new massive cheeseburger that is going around in Thailand at Burger King. This is courtesy of WTHR.
Best thing we've seen today, Burger King in Thailand introducing this new item, calling it the real cheeseburger. Now it's called a burger, but there's no meat. Instead, as you can see, there's a stack of 20 slices of American cheese.
This is disgusting. This is absolutely disgusting. If I could sit here and just squirm at the mere thought of you have two buns, 20 slices of cheese stacked up on top of each other. By the way, if you're waiting to see the meat and where the meat is, there is no meat in the buns. No pun intended. And yet you have this melted cheese that's poured on top. It said, this is the cheeseburger. I hope you like it. Where the hell did people get this idea from? Like, you know, the one thing I genuinely cannot stand is people and their weird-ass ideas of coming up with new ways and new inventions of like, hey, here's a new food invention here. We're going to make you a cheeseburger. But here's the catch. It's going to be a real cheeseburger. Oh, really? How big are the beef patties? Oh, no, there's no beef in here. Excuse me?
This real cheeseburger costs about $11. Now, in Thailand, cheese is especially popular among young people. So what do you think, ladies?
Now, in the high cholesterol is happening here?
It looks like an entire package of those wrapped singles.
Yeah. It sure does. It sure does. It's like you giving someone, hey, here's a burger. Oh, by the way, it's just 20 slices of cheese. Not even American cheese. Actually, according to the report, it is American cheese. But apparently American cheese slices are so popular among the youth in Thailand that I said, hey, you know what? Let's turn it into one big bun of high cholesterol and heart attack. You wanna kill a person? Kill them slowly. How? Give them a whole ball of 20 slices of American cheese in between two hamburger buns. That's the way to do it. Mmm. It's just so good, man. I mean, it's just tasty. Like, they didn't even use freaking pop, like, they didn't even use, like jalapeno cheese. Or, like, the cheese that, my favorite cheese in the world. It's not even American cheese. They didn't even use pepper jack cheese. That's what I was getting at. If you were going to do that with pepper jack cheese, I don't think I'd have a problem with that. Because pepper jack cheese is the truth. But if you're going to do that with American cheese, with bland as hell American cheese that basically tastes like your grandmother's wallpaper that she pasted on her walls some 20-30 years ago and serve it as food, you might as well smash me with a freaking hammer. That's what you might as well do. Because I absolutely refuse to entertain the idea that they're going to turn around and eat this. But they are eating it. Apparently, they're selling it for $11 in Thailand. Like, in all seriousness, I really wonder if they actually were to sell this here in the United States, how would it go? Like, would people actually go online and buy it? I mean, if we're going to be real, I think the honest answer to that is yes. Because after all, this country is the most obese country on the planet. We're willing to eat cholesterol on top of cholesterol and calories on top of calories. What does a real cheeseburger have left to prove? Oh, that's right. It'll probably screw up your stomach. You know, it'll probably give you those that watery guts type feeling. Your stomach feels bubbly, and I'm not talking about bubbly with emotions, like you gotta go to the bathroom, type of deal. Yeah. Like, who the hell comes up with these ideas? Please, can someone tell me? Like, who the hell comes up with the real burger? No, but except that it's not with real meat. It's with this plant-based thing. Like, get the hell out of my face with that. Like, if you're gonna serve me that, at least serve me something with the real deal. Don't try to reinvent the wheel that has been there for decades and at a time. Like, what are we doing? Like, it's like someone going to a steak restaurant and they order a nice filet mignon. They serve you the filet mignon, or what you think is the filet mignon, except that it's just this real meat that's plant-based that just happened to be cooked the way that you desired it to be cooked. That's basically what that is. At that point, I'm getting up and punching someone in the freaking face. Because how dare you? How dare you deceive me? This ain't real food. This is absolutely garbage. This is garbage you serve. You won't even serve that to your dog, let alone a human being. So why the hell would you even think that this would be a good idea? Huh? Oh, that just pissed me off. The real American burger. Yeah, okay.
Yes, doesn't right. it? They said popular amongst young people. Anyone under 30, those are the only people that can eat that.
The only ones that can eat that are people that are under 30 that can eat that. So, according to this newscaster, Oh, the young people, we can just go ahead and encourage you to go ahead and eat that garbage and die. If you're over 30, don't touch it.
If you're over 30, don't touch it.
Like, yeah, if you're over 30, go ahead. Don't worry about it. But give it to your kids instead. Go ahead. No wonder why you got little Michelin men and girls running around this country. Because of nonsense like this. I mean, yeah, they're not selling it in the States, but I'm sure there's someone in America, in this country of damn near 300 million people, that are like, you know what? I'm going to do this myself at home, create this homemade massive cheese-only burger. It's not even a freaking burger because it doesn't have meat in it. You can't even call it a burger. Just call it freaking melted cheese. Like, I don't even want to try it. I don't even think you should try it. But if you want to try it, be my guest. But if you walking around passing gas or having to make your beeline to the bathroom and take a hot crap on a hot day, don't be mad because you decided to try that nasty concoction of so-called food. Burger King, now serving you the massive cheese-only burger in Thailand, where you can have it your way. I mean, I know you can go to Thailand for great vacation, beautiful looking women, or, you know, but now you can go to Thailand and get you a massive cheese only burger. That's hilarious. Of all the food, of all the outrageous food that you can imagine that you in 2023 that could be invented. I'm not sitting here saying that I'm shocked, but rather I am so grossed out. You might as well try to sell me fake meat and say that it's plant only, but it's not real meat. Oh, it's the real burger like they tried to do several years ago. It's probably still a thing now, and it probably is. And nah, I'm good. I'm all set with that. On that note, I'm going to wrap up the first hour of the program. Because I can't imagine someone out there, and I'm sure there's probably someone that is out there saying, that looks really good. It's nasty as hell. Good Lord. That's going to wrap it up for this first hour of the Shukri Wright Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Forum Radio. Hour number two of the Shukri Wright Show is coming up next here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. Stay tuned. Hour number two of the program is coming up next here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
How do you dispose of cigarettes?
Well, this part of plants.
Really? Fertilizer and dried plant roots can catch fire.
Trash cans okay?
Please. All that trash can easily catch fire.
So off my porch is a bad idea.
Cigarettes tossed into mulch, leaves, and grass start many fires. Fire can grow up the side of a building before anyone notices.
Fine. Bucket of sand?
That's perfect. Put it out. All the way. Every time. To learn more, go to mass.gov/DFS.